Welcome to the Franchise Hounds podcast. I'm Greg Macchia, a certified franchise consultant. Thanks for joining me as I interview franchise industry pros to dissect, explore, and discover franchise ownership. Joining me today is Sarah Brown. Sarah is the franchise development manager with Fitness Machine Technicians. Fitness Machine Technicians specializes in the maintenance and repair of equipment for commercial and home exercise facilities. Fitness Machine Technicians was recognized as a Franchise Dictionary Magazine Top 100 Game Changer for 2020 and an Entrepreneur Magazine Fastest Growing Franchise for 2020. I hope you enjoy today's discussion with Sarah Brown from Fitness Machine Technicians. Sarah, welcome to Franchise Hounds. Thanks for joining us. As I was preparing for our conversation, I was thinking about how much I like this business as it's really a blend of two very popular segments in franchising right now. And that's, you know, the service industry as well as fitness.
I agree. I think, when folks look at Fitness Machine Technicians, probably the most appealing thing is it's a way to tap into fitness, which is a recession-resistant category, but without the brick and mortar and very, very hyper competitive environment of a brick and mortar gym.
Yeah, no, for sure. I had heard that you have some ex-gym owners as franchisees, actually, which says a lot about the business model, right? They understand that there's really a need for this type of service, but they also probably know that it's easier than owning and operating a gym or a studio.
Absolutely. We have two former multi-unit fitness, you know, gym franchise owners and one current franchise owner. And I think what they said the exact same thing, that, you know, it was really difficult to get someone to come out on a timely fashion and they liked the industry. And I tell you, if 2020 reinforced anything, it is that people will always value in fitness. The only thing that really changes is where they're going to work out and slightly how. But the nice thing is our customers, any individual or business that has fitness equipment, and that's a pretty broad customer base.
Sure. The business has been around a long time and has really exploded through franchising the last 2.5 years. But can you give us a little history on the brand?
Absolutely. So the business itself, you're absolutely right, has been around since 2002. And Don Powers, the founder and CEO, has been in the fitness industry for 35 years. So owning retail equipment stores, co-owning a couple of health clubs, and then now with Fitness Machine Technicians. But you're right, as a franchise, it's more of an emerging brand. So about 3 years ago, we had one franchisee, and now we have 46 in 32 states. And we are just this calendar year, 2021, offering franchises in Canada.
Oh, that's exciting.
Oh, we're thrilled.
So a description, you guys provide service and maintenance to fitness equipment, right? Is that a fair assessment?
That's it. It's one of the charms of our business is the simplicity. You know, we only do two things. We do preventative maintenance. So, you know, for folks listening that like the idea of having a recurring revenue opportunity. We do have that in preventative maintenance contracts. Mostly that is commercial, but in 2020, we had more residential contracts than we've ever had because I think people value being able to work and the uptime on their equipment. And then the second thing we do is repair. And repair can either be residential or commercial, and it can either be warranty or non-warranty. We do more non-warranty, but we truly want to be a one-stop shop for our customers, saying we don't care how many different brands you have, warranty, non-warranty, we can do it all as a one-stop shop, you know, one vendor for all things fitness equipment related.
Yeah, that's in the service industry, that's really kind of the holy grail to have both residential and commercial clients. That's really nice. So obviously, the residential is understandable as far as what you would do there. But on the commercial, I assume it's, you know, things like hotels and corporate fitness centers, apartments, condos, I guess universities, health clubs, all that sort of thing, right?
All the above. And, you know, we look at the commercial market, the way that the OEMs, the original equipment manufacturers that make the fitness equipment, look at it, which is there's really only two groups of commercial customers. One are gyms and health clubs, where their primary reason for being is fitness. And do we have customers? Absolutely, we do. But we tend to resonate more with smaller boutique fitness. You know, the large big box gyms may have their own in-house sort of jack of all trades. I mean, we do have customers there, but typically it's the smaller gyms and health clubs, and then everything else. So you're right, universities, corporate fitness centers, property management groups, apartments, et cetera, where their primary business is not fitness. And what are they looking for? They're looking for streamlined vendor management, one vendor that can handle everything. And a lot of our customers may have multiple locations in a metro. And what that means is they may have multiple vendors, and with us, they can have one.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure as you guys gain critical mass, both in the number of states you're servicing and the number of locations, that you probably can acquire some, you know, national or regional contracts with businesses and things like that.
Absolutely. And we think that that is a big area for future growth, you know, as our footprint continues to grow. But you're absolutely right. You know, now we have just expanded our national footprint in the last couple of years, but do we have contracts with some property management groups and some larger multi-unit hotel? Absolutely, we do. And then we also have a lot of preferred vendor relationships, you know, where they may be, you know, international. And so we certainly can't cover their entire footprint. But in a lot of cases, they have created a category just for us, you know, because they know that they need a vendor, you know, so looking at property management groups, you know, something of that nature.
Okay. And tell us about like a typical job. How long does service take? And, you know, what's that cost?
Absolutely. I hate to say it depends, but it does depend.
But it depends.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of our guidance and secret sauce is our subject matter expertise in how to help a franchisee set pricing locally, you know, how to approach, you know, what does a preventative maintenance contract look like? But it's really based upon the number of pieces of equipment and in some cases, the vendor. But for residential, you know, some of the repairs could take, you know, anywhere from 15 to 45 minutes, you know, depending on how complicated that it is. You know, often we may show up and it just may be a bad outlet or, you know, they need a new battery. But in that case, you know what, we're still providing value and identifying what is wrong and cleaning it up and making sure that it's functional and in better shape than when we arrived. And on the commercial side, it's all over the board. I mean, we have some customers that have maybe two or three pieces of equipment. And then for a university, and we have some very large universities, a couple Ivy League schools, and they may have 100+ pieces of equipment, you know, with multiple fitness facilities on a campus. And, you know, what they're looking for there is someone who is going to be proactive, you know, finding ways to lower their overall cost of ownership of their equipment. And I think that's really where we shine. You know, like, hey, we did our preventative maintenance, but you know what? You may not need to fix that now, meaning like the deck of a treadmill. But you know what? When we come out next quarter, maybe we could, you know, extend that visit. And I think we do that very, very well, which is why we have such a high renewal rate on our preventative maintenance contracts.
Yeah, that's really nice. Because as you mentioned, that's that recurring income you can start to count on. And I would imagine from an inventory parts perspective, you can plan a little better. You don't have to carry inventory. You can, you know, if you know you're going out to do things, you can order it in advance and that sort of thing.
Well, and that's a great question. One of the reasons this is such a, you know, low overhead opportunity and that you can have a home office is that there's very little inventory. You know, on an ongoing basis, really the only thing that a franchisee or a technician maybe has in their car are cleaner, you know, cleaners, lubricants, batteries, and then a very low dollar amount like clips, snaps, you know, little straps for a pedal, that kind of thing. because there are so many different manufacturers, you know, we have a lot of franchisees that come from very high tech industries, you know, where, and in ours, it's not that it's overly simple to fix fitness equipment, but, you know, from a technical perspective, you know, what we're really looking for and what we recommend to a franchisee when they're looking for a technician is basic mechanical aptitude, you know, and then we, if they have a basic mechanical, you know, background, we're going to be able to teach them how to translate that to fitness equipment. But what makes it more challenging is the sheer variety. You know, like there's just so many different makes and models and manufacturers. And if you tried to carry any kind of inventory, you know, a couple years into it, you know, a majority would be obsolete, you know, you would have a lot of money tied up. So, you know, the business model really to run a profitable fitness machine technician business is you are ordering the parts directly from the manufacturer as needed, but you're leveraging the fitness machine technician relationship and pricing.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And just a little bit more on equipment because we got into it. So as far as tools, I mean, it's probably just like a basic toolbox, right? Really pretty limited.
It is. You know, there's a handful of specialty tools, but they're not overly expensive. And, you know, fitness machine technicians, we have fantastic relationships with some specialty suppliers, you know, and we will make that all very clear. But our best practice is that a technician would come to a franchisee with their own tools. Because to your point, Greg, it is a pretty basic toolkit, you know, and if I love DeWalt or a certain brand, that's kind of what I want to use. And then the franchisee supplies their technicians with specific, you know, industry specific, which is not a lot, you know, like a specific pull for a deck of a treadmill that can be leveraged across multiple manufacturers, but very basic toolbox. Interestingly, probably the most valuable tool we have is a portable vacuum. You know, often we have a brand new customer, you know, we'll take the shroud off and we'll look under the hood, if you will, and say, oh my goodness, you know, it looks like a dust bunny exploded in there, you know. And, you know, do we come across existing contracts? Of course, you know, but often when we're called, you know, when we ask, well, what do you do on an ongoing basis? And, you know, what we hear from a lot of customers as well, you know, we call someone like you or the manufacturer when it breaks. And, you know, we feel like in that case, that's like having a car and never getting an oil change. You know, you're just not invested in the upkeep and the overall cost-effective ownership of your fitness equipment.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then I imagine since you're not, you know, since the technicians aren't schlepping around a lot of stuff, that a basic vehicle works and you guys recommend, you know, having that wrapped for branding?
We do. You know, we do recommend the rolling billboard, you know, that you have one, you know, fitness machine technician mobile, you know, wrapped. We drive Priuses in Philadelphia. That's where we're based. We have approved quite a few other vehicles, but we get a lot of calls and we get a lot of surprise customers that are like, oh, you drove up in a Prius. We thought you'd have to have like a huge van or, you know, and we say, yeah, really not needed. You know, typically the biggest repair part that we need is the deck of a treadmill, and most fit in a Prius. And we know that because we do it often.
Do it all the time, I'm sure. So you touched on, you know, 46 locations in 32 states currently. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, territory size and how they're defined and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. And as a, you know, service franchise, our territories are based on population and then by zip code or postal code in Canada. And, you know, of our 100 territories sold, they are all this executive size, minimum of 1 million in population territory. This year, we are offering a medium-sized territory at 500,000 to 800,000, but that is more for a owner-operator, someone who probably is comfortable performing a certain amount of the work in the first year or two, where a majority of our executive owners, they may go through a portion of the technician training, but as an executive franchise, it's really the franchisee's choice if they want to go through it. Most approach it the way that I probably personally would, which is, hey, understanding the technical service side of our business is helpful, you know, to kind of understand the business and to be able to speak about it to customers. But if you're doing all the work, you're working in the business, not on it. And I'm sure as you tell, you know, a lot of your clients, it's difficult to scale and grow a business if you're in it all the time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And do most of your owners find that one territory is suitable for them, or do they end up owning multiple territories?
Well, our average is two. But we do have a lot of franchisees that own one. We have several that own three. But, you know, our feeling, the reason that we started with these very large territories is a couple reasons. One, selfishly, we thought, hey, there's a big opportunity since we're one of the first players to market that is organized, because it's a very fragmented, underserved service segment. There's just no question about it. There's not enough providers that do what we do. So we thought, hey, you know, we're one of the first organized, you know, regionally, nationally to market. And so this will help us allow us to expand our footprint faster. But the second, I would argue, probably more important reason is that if you own, you know, a large market, you're going to have customers in that will have multiple locations, you know, across a metro. And instead of having like maybe three or four different franchisees that service that customer, we would have one or two at most.
Yeah, that makes sense. What are some of the markets around the country that are still available and that you'd, you know, would be excited to get into?
Absolutely. You know, since we're based in the Northeast, you know, we do have our strongest footprint and presence in the Northeast. You know, we're sold out in New Jersey, New York City, you know, I live in Syracuse, New York, and we have a franchisee in Rochester, but Buffalo is open and the Albany area. We do have half of the Boston metro, but if you look at the East Coast, we are available in Orlando and the entire western half of Florida, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota is all available. And then my home state where I grew up, Virginia, is wide open, you know, where, hey, we have a great franchisee in Washington, D.C., Maryland. We're sold out in Delaware, New Jersey, but we would love to be in kind of that mid-Atlantic area. Then if you go kind of in the middle part of the country, we have a lot of states that are wide open, Oklahoma, Louisiana, you know. And then if you go to the western side of the country, you know, in Northern California, we're kind of sold out in the majority of Southern California, with the exception of an available territory in Santa Clarita and San Fernando Valley. But the entire Bay Area is open for us, and we would love to be there.
That seems like that would be a great market. Interesting. So that's, I mean, you really do have a lot of prime territory still available. So that's encouraging.
Yes.
From a skill set point of view, what are you looking for in an owner?
We have a very diverse backgrounds of our franchisee community. But I think what they have in common is, you know, we have some folks out of the military. I'm a veteran.
Oh, that's great.
I'm a Navy veteran. We do have a 10% veteran, you know, vet fran discount. We have a few folks, as we talked about, that have owned a fitness franchise or a franchise, but a vast majority of our franchisees are first-time small business owners. You know, I would say 80% are coming out of the corporate world at either a, you know, senior level account management or director level or above. This is not a cold calling driven business, but a franchisee, someone looking at our opportunity, should be comfortable being the face of the business, you know, doing some networking, following up on warm introductions, being the face of the business with larger commercial prospects. So I would say that the key sort of shared backgrounds are project management and account management, because the hope is long term, it would be that recurring revenue, you know, repeat customer.
Okay. And I saw that you offer both, you know, an owner operator model where the owner, at least initially, would be the one doing some of the repair work, as well as a semi-absentee model. So I guess in the semi-absentee model, what would a day-to-day look like for that owner?
You know, the semi-absentee model, or the manager, is a minimum of 15 to 20 hours a week. And in that scenario, you know, it is not the majority. We have about 7 of our franchisees that are a little more part-time. You know, they may have a consulting practice and then they have their fitness machine technician franchise. But they're spending that 20 hours a week more on the management side, you know, as an executive owner, and then going to networking events and really being the face of the business with their larger commercial customers. But one of the nice things, and I don't think we've touched on this, Greg, is that one of the things that is very appealing to our franchisees and to our technicians is that what we do is important, but no one is on call in our business. So for a lot of our franchisees, you know, they like the idea of having, you know, a successful business, but they also don't want that 2 o'clock in the morning phone call or, you know, an army of team members. And, you know, you would start with one technician. Now, in an owner operator, you could start with just the franchisee if they want to go through the technician training and doing double duty. But we would recommend starting with the franchisee and then one technician. So yes, there's not a 3 o'clock in the morning elliptical treadmill emergency. You know, everything can wait till the next day. And not only is that appealing to franchisees, it is a selling point for a technician. You know, because if you're a technician and you're used to working in the maintenance world and, you know, you do disaster restoration or HVAC, those are very necessary, needed businesses. But you have emergency calls in those businesses. And with us, everything can wait till the next day.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that. But from both as a potential owner, as well as when you're trying to hire technicians. You know, I know my wife can get a little cranky if she doesn't get her workout in, but again, no real emergencies in this, right?
Absolutely. And I agree with your wife. I have a Peloton that I love. And if it were down, especially in 2020, I think I would have been very unhappy.
Yes, along with a lot of people. You know, it's funny you say that. I've been attempting to slowly build out a home gym, and you just can't get equipment right now. The demand is insane. I mean, everything, you know.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, there's a lot of brokerage companies that will broker out like installation of equipment sent, you know, via e-commerce sites. And their average wait time across the country is 6 weeks. And I think that reinforces there's just not enough service providers doing this.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it shows that the demand is there now and will continue to be there, especially with people, you know, who maybe used to work at a gym or are now more, you know, building home gyms and things like that.
Yes.
To become an owner, what's a typical investment?
Yes. For the folks listening, you know, if you have read a franchise disclosure document, you know, in our item 7, our investment range is $71,450 on the low end up to $118,000. But the high end of the range is if someone had an office outside of a home office, which we really don't recommend to start. So low overhead, typically a franchisee will open within 6 to 8 weeks of signing an agreement. So this is not overly regulated. You know, there is no need for a contractor's license to do what we do. Typically, what sets the opening date is getting a technician, which can be the franchisee, through the field training.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask that. So one, really nice that it can be home-based, especially initially to keep costs down. On the technician side, how difficult is it to find and hire and, you know, train the technician?
We provide a lot of support around, you know, what is the profile of someone we're looking for? But sort of the two extremes are, one, you know, you could hire someone right out of a, you know, trade school or a vocational program. You know, if they have a great customer service orientation, they may need a little more training. And then the other extreme is someone maybe out of the military, you know, who has served in a maintenance role. They don't need the full training, you know, probably a fraction of that. But one of the key support that we provide to a franchisee and by extension, their technicians, is that we are the backup technical support to the manufacturers for the lifetime of the agreement. And so, you know, really a lot of the value we're providing as a franchisor is that we are keeping our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the industry. And so, you know, no one can be an expert on the 70 plus worldwide manufacturers of treadmills or, you know, strength training equipment or that kind of thing. So we are that backup support. And I think for a lot of our franchisees, that is a key value point.
Yeah, that's nice. I think I had read somewhere that if one of your technicians is on site and has a question, they can actually FaceTime into corporate with like a master technician and kind of get help to troubleshoot a problem, which is a great resource.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is in addition to a lot of the support from the manufacturers. And, you know, most manufacturers will let almost anyone order a part, but are you going to get volume leverage pricing or technical support? Probably not, you know, where you get that because we have been in the industry for a very long time.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I imagine as you grow, you'll continue to expand these agreements with the major manufacturers where, you know, on pricing and, you know, even how quickly you get things and things like that, response rates.
Anything else, like during the recession in 2008 and 2009, you know, there was a lot of consolidation. And, you know, in 2020, we saw the exact same thing, you know, where a manufacturer buys another one. You know, there's constantly shifting or shifts in the industry. And, you know, we're staying abreast of it. By extension, our franchisees.
And you mentioned a little bit about the competition being mostly mom and pop, and that's an advantage you have over them, and we'll continue to leverage that as you guys grow.
And you know, there are some retail outlets that sell equipment and larger, you know, general maintenance companies that will offer repair and maintenance on fitness equipment, but in a lot of those cases, they will broker out some of the work to people like us. You know, because it's not their primary business or area of service. And by extension, we will, you know, do the work as a subcontractor or a vendor.
Yeah, that makes sense. I wanted to touch a little bit on, you know, what they call item 19 or earnings claim, you know, essentially what someone can make owning one. I assume that the way you scale this business is by adding technicians, right?
Yes, that is exactly how you scale it. And so our rule of thumb, and this has is absolutely accurate for our franchisees, is that one technician, you know, that is full time, can handle between $150,000 to $200,000 in gross revenue in U.S. dollars. So the way you scale it is you get more technicians. So, Okay. You know, I have a retail background and, you know, the way you scale a retail business is you have more locations. You know, the way you scale our service business is you grow your team, you know, and so if you have a very large territory, you know, the way you service that in a cost-effective way is that you either send someone to start to the far out areas, maybe once, you know, once a week, twice a month. And then over time, you will get part-time and then hopefully full-time technicians in those different parts of your market. Because at the end of the day, our business is a route-based business, you know, because we're going to the consumer, whether it's a home or a business. And we have also invested in software to be able to manage that in a very streamlined fashion.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And it's a good approach to kind of smart, manageable growth, particularly for a new owner who's expanding.
Indeed.
I know you guys were named one of the fastest growing franchises by Entrepreneur Magazine. And
number 208.
Wow, that's awesome. And a top 100 game changer by Franchise Dictionary magazine, I think a couple of years in a row. So it's been a really, really exciting times for you guys.
It really has. We have been, you know, pleasantly surprised at the level of interest. And I think it just goes to show that people see the opportunity in the industry and they see the value in, you know, having a franchise as support and a vehicle for growth.
Yeah, because it would be really difficult for an independent owner in this space to achieve what you guys have just with the, you know, the arrangements both on the customer side with, you know, national or regional accounts, as well as with all the manufacturers and things because it's so diverse.
And I just wanted to add one thing to the national regional account. Two of our franchisees also are national account sales directors and they split the country. So it's very important to us to involve our franchisee community and have them involved as part of our growth strategy and representing the franchise system and the value of it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, if a listener would like to learn more, is the best place to start your website? I mean, I would certainly be happy to get anyone in touch with you, but is your website a good place to start?
Well, I would say chatting with you would probably be the thing they should do, you know, because as much as franchising is great and it's fantastic for first-time business owners, every franchise is not a fit for every candidate. And so I think, you know, having someone like you help someone figure out if it is a fit and if there's available territory in their area is good. They can certainly go to our website and take a peek at our franchise, and I'd be happy to chat with them as well.
Well, Sarah, this has really been fun. Thanks again for joining us today. I've enjoyed, you know, learning more about Fitness Machine Technicians, and I'm excited to, you know, continue to watch your growth.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Franchise Hounds. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover in a future episode, or would like to work with me directly to explore franchise ownership opportunities, please reach out through the form on our website at franchisehounds.com.